Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from Christ Jesus, our Savior and King. Our sermon this morning is taken from our gospel reading of Mark chapter 10 with these words. Jesus said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is the word of our Lord. Well, as we listen to our gospel from St. Mark, certainly we can see here how Jesus loved the little children. And we have many a song and many a vacation Bible school and Sunday school opportunity to teach our children this very truth. But when we looked at the disciples and what they were doing, it wasn't so obvious to them, was it? Because it may have seemed to the disciples that Jesus was overworked as it was. I mean, he had all the sick to care for, those that were paralyzed, those that were demon-possessed, those that were mute or could not see. Jesus was there to care for them. Now, perhaps it made sense to the 12 that they had to draw the line in allowing the children to be blessed by Jesus. But certainly, I think we can take from this reading of our gospel today that Jesus wanted to give the little children his time, even if he had a precious few minutes to himself. You see, what we see in those lives, those little ones surrounding Jesus, they needed their Lord just as much as anyone else did. And so Jesus provided for them both healing and mercy. And this is a wonderful act of God. No greater example can we see here in Mark than that Jesus offered compassion and proved that he loved the little children when he took them up in his arms and blessed them. Now you and I teach as Lutherans that God is infinitely wise. And he knows his creation down to the core. He knows each and every one of us. So it would make sense that what Jesus was doing by giving each child a blessing, just like we do here at the altar of our Lord, Jesus was, in a simple way, showing them personally how much God loves them. And that truly is our theme for today. What a great lesson it is. Jesus loves me. This I know. For even as we understand today in all of our psychology, right, all our professors of all the universities and all our schools, we know full well that children need this very truth, this foundation in life, for their comfort, for their health, for their well-being, to know that they are loved. I mean, think about it. Isn't the proof there that children rest better? They perform better at school. They develop self-esteem in environments in which they know that they are loved. But how do they know? How does the little child know that he or she is loved? We can take care of them. We can provide for them food and shelter. But the very best thing that we can do is to say out loud, "I love you." Never underestimate the power of those words for our children. And we know it is true. It is Jesus who first loved us. Even before the worlds began, Jesus loved us infinitely and mercifully. But I tell you this, you know, we look at the cover of our bulletins and we see here Adam and Eve. And I think about how life and marriage and children began in Genesis. And I think what Jesus is getting at in our gospel reading from Mark is that he tells the Pharisees, his disciples, and he tells us that from the beginning, God made them male and female, and even made the little children. And I guess I pose this question as I think about it. How can we not love the little children? Because from the beginning, God made them to be cute. And you can't help it, right? Because think about it. You look at this picture and you think, you know, when Adam and Eve, first husband and wife, and they had their children, was it not God's design that they would have this little baby boy, this little face, look up at them and be cute and reflect their very own image? Because it is true, Adam and Eve's boys were also bone of their bones, flesh of their flesh. And by God's grand design, a baby is so cute, you cannot help but fall in love with it. That is how it works. That is God's way. This helpless little warm child, new to the world, asking you for help with his or her little cries. And instinctively, you pick him up and you care for him. I mean, think about it. Even our pets understand this. All that God has made for us, cats and dogs and so on, even our pets understand this, right? Because you bring a child into the safety of the home, perhaps where a dog is responsible for protecting that territory. What does the dog do with that little baby? But he licks that little head several times and lays down and sets up guard duty. Even the pet understands this design of God. It's a beautiful thing. And so I think of that when I look at this bulletin cover. And I think, you know, Adam and Eve, every single one of us, we are a part of God's magnificent design in life on earth. And what I see here is that you and I, we were made for each other. Even the animals, right? As we heard from Genesis, the animals were made to keep Adam company and Eve company in paradise. And I look at this and I think, yeah, it'd be pretty crazy to have a lion as a pet or a deer. And then we think about that marriage relationship, how Eve was made for Adam, just as much as he was made for her, bone of bone and flesh of flesh. And even their children, Cain and Abel, they were also a gift from God made to help and care for the needs of the family in farming, shepherding. This is God's design, and it's beautiful and magnificent. But the most important aspect of family, called family values, right, is that God has designed us in his infinite wisdom that we love one another. This is the central Christian truth of family, love. And you look at it and you look at the rest of Genesis and poor Cain. Cain didn't understand. Cain didn't understand his relationship with God. He didn't understand his relationship with his brother. And so when Cain grew jealous and hateful, his sin gave birth to murder. And it destroyed the life together that God had given them. And see, we must learn from this. Without love for one another, there cannot be peace in the family. God wants us to learn from Cain what not to do. That we learn from Christ, learn from the Holy Scriptures, that love is for us. God is love. Love your brother, love your sister. This has to be a priority that we learn even from the Ten Commandments, right? When we summarize them in love. But when we look at the Ten Commandments, what King David meditated on day and night, what you and I are taught in confirmation class, what are these commands that you and I must know that are God's will in our life with one another? But the fourth commandment begins in relationship to one another. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet. And with these commands, God teaches us how to love, how to be family. And I think that's interesting. Because we practice how to love, we practice forgiveness in our own families, don't we? With our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, right? We practice how to love. And we have these relationships in our life that God has given us. Why? Because God has designed us that we might carry each other's burdens. Help! God has designed us that we can share our blessings that God has given us with one another. That we can live in service to one another. Do you see how God has designed you with a purpose? Not just to go through life, but actually a need and a design to love your neighbor. And this is God's will. That as we have now practiced showing kindness in our own families, the Lord now extends our relationship and networks us with one another in the Holy Christian Church on earth. See, the Lord has extended your family here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. That where we have been made one in Christ through faith, because there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And we learn here that the words of St. Paul are truth, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, therefore show love to one another. And how can we do this? There are many ways that we can show love. Jesus teaches us in his life. He shows us in the Ten Commandments, but one of the things we could do, whether we make ourselves available, right, when someone is in need. Hey, I need your help. I need help with this. I love you as a brother or sister of Christ. I will be there. Or if someone is hurting and they need a shoulder to lean on, you can be a concerned neighbor, a friend. And you can stop and you can listen. Or maybe even in 1 week from now, we could buy an extra piece of pie during chicken dinner and take that to someone that we love. Say, hey, I've been thinking about you. I care about here. Would you like a piece of cake or a piece of pie? See, I tell you that because these are random acts of kindness in showing Christ's love for us and our love for one another. And why would we do that? Why would we show love? Because Jesus first loved us. Because Jesus values each and every one of us perfectly. We are so precious in God's sight. You know what he did. But he showed you how much he loves you when he died on the cross for you. You see, this is the beautiful truth that I want you to think about and learn today. You are those children that God draws to himself, allowing you to be in his very presence, that you might be where Christ is. So that's church, where God loves you. And Jesus himself treasures you more than life itself. And Jesus here nurtures you with all the fruit of the Spirit to be patient and kind and loving and forgiving to all of your brothers and sisters because God is love. And God has shown us his kindness through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it is here he makes us one. Because know this, when we come forward to receive Holy Communion, we all partake of the one body of Christ. We all partake of the one cup of Christ. The very blood of our Lord for the forgiveness of our sins. And what Jesus is doing here is he's making us one. One family. One body of Christ. That together we may love him and love one another as family. And that is God's design. And it's a beautiful thing. And so we pray. Your most gracious Heavenly Father, you are our Lord. We ask you this day, O Lord, that in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, further us with your continual help, that in all our Christian words and deeds that are begun and continued and ended in you, we ask, O Lord, that we may glorify your holy name. And finally, by your mercy, give us a steadfast faith, the one holy Christian faith in Jesus Christ, that here he may grant us a cheerful cheerful hope in your mercy and a sincere love for you and for one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and King. Amen.